Christmas, New Year's, inauguration. Throughout the long season, we're still not through. Most of the government's processes roll on, like rulemaking. Comments were due last week on a Defense Department rule concerning contractor use of unclassified government information. It may have been mistletoe and eggnog time, but that didn't prevent the Professional Services Council from weighing in. Joining me with more, Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel. And everybody's working, was working right up to New Year's Eve. Tell us about this rule, Alan, and what it required of contractors.
Good morning, Tom, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. The Department of Defense in October published a proposed rule that would have provided the department with authority to deny access to unclassified technical information that maintained by the department if a contractor was found to have violated any of the export control laws. This was a continuation of a long series of efforts by DOD over several years to establish a set of special procedures within DOD to mirror what exists in the export control regimes that are administered by both the Department of State and the Department of Commerce. It's government information that would be made available to contractors for use either in bidding or in performing work.
And so it would be withheld if the contractor did certain things that were against the export control provisions?
That's correct. It would allow the department the authority to deny access to that information if the contractor were to have violated any of those rules.
And so that would hinder their ability to bid on contracts.
Well, that's right. Certainly to bid and also maybe even to perform work that they had already won.
What is the objection or what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, our concern was threefold. First of all, that there was very little flexibility in the rule for the department to take into account special circumstances. The disqualification procedures were almost blanket. If there were any violation of the export controls, unbounded by any time constraints, took place 20 years ago or last week, the department rule would have given the department no flexibility to take that into account. In our view, it didn't provide the department with any ability to allow the contractor to take corrective action, even if the violation had nothing to do with access to or protecting unclassified information. And finally, earlier this year, the National Archives issued a very significant rule on controlled unclassified information that really revised the whole landscape. And this rule, which came after that narrow rule, didn't take that into account at all. We urged them to do so.
And what is the status of the DOD rule now?
Well, it was a proposed rule. Comments were due on December 30. We submitted ours on December 27th, and I suspect that it will be well into 2017 when the new administration, the Trump administration, new leadership in the department will evaluate the rule and decide whether to go forward.
Because I think the council, in one of the statements it released, also said the rule seems to be redundant with other State Department rules and regimes imposed in other parts of the government.
Absolutely. And the export control laws and regulations exist in the Department of State and Department of Commerce. They're applicable to government contractors. And so if the Defense Department marks information as restricted for export, then they don't need to have a separate rule, a separate contract clause. We're already covered. But that's the overlap and duplication that we see a potential. What that overlap creates is the potential for inconsistencies, and that's why we urge the department to rely on the core agency with that expertise, either state for its ITAR rules or the Department of Commerce for the Export Administration rules.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And let's zoom out here for a minute and look ahead to the year 2017 with respect to Congress. A lot of unfinished business, I think, that industry was hoping for in Congress now that we have the 115th getting underway within days. What's your hope for this next round?
Well, there are two major issues that I'll be looking for. First of all, the upcoming confirmation hearings of all of the Trump administration senior officials that are subject to Senate confirmation. Most importantly, to have the confirmation of the director of OMB, Mike Mulvaney. Lots of issues procurement policy issues related to that are under the control of the director, whether he will push for additional outsourcing through A76, what's to be made of category management, and even the role of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and the Office of Financial Management, which both report to him, very important. Obviously, the budget is going to be critical, and what does Mr. Mulvaney see as the pathway forward to finish the leftover appropriations for federal fiscal year 17 that will expire. Right now, the continuing resolution will last through April. And then, of course, what's their plan for fiscal year 18 budgets?
And the aerospace industry, I think, was taken a little aback by a couple of activities of President-elect Trump with respect to the Boeing contract for the Air Force Ones down the line and with Lockheed on the cost of the F-35. Unorthodox approach for the president or the president-elect to discuss that kind of thing publicly with the contractors. At the Professional Services Council, what do you take away from that? Do you think that indicates some new way of government dealing with industry in the future?
Well, there's a phrase that heard those who are familiar with the University of Maryland and the turtle, their catchphrase is fear the turtle. Now I hear a lot from industry to fear the tweet. And that's a real concern that a lot of the policy is going to be made through 140 characters. Yes, there is obviously attention to the key spending plans that the Department of Defense had and the key contractors had. I was pleased to see that the president-elect did meet with the senior executives of both those companies as well as others. It's going to be certainly interesting, and it's a different approach to the procurement, overall procurement policy. But he also met with some of the senior Defense Department officials who were engaged in those programs. I was pleased to see him characterize some of them as tough negotiators. So I think there's a lot to be watched for over the course of the next couple of weeks. And maybe as more senior officials are put into place and take on leadership, we might see a little less from the president himself and more from those officials.
Now, Mike Mulvaney is something of a budget hawk, so that doesn't portend necessarily for spigots open on the defense or civilian agency spending front.
Well, that's right. If he were president, that would be absolutely correct. But Mr. Trump is going to be president, and he has been a very strong supporter of substantially increasing the resources for the Department of Defense, building up the Navy, making sure that the forces, that there are adequate forces available and capabilities, readiness. So I think this will be why his confirmation hearing will be so interesting, is to see how he reconciles his own experiences and perspectives with the president's perspectives.
Alan Chavotkin is Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Happy New Year.
Find this interview and a link to the comments at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.